So again, Space Science Day Camp, let's get started. So we've gone through this information. We're a nationally accredited camp. We do have a lot of rigorous regulations that we have to adhere to. So that's why we ask for all those forms. We ask for leadership. And so thank you for joining us on this day camp that is being put on by our executive staff. We have Mr. Rand Mahoney. Our day camp director is Miss Ashley Turner, myself, and Eileen Hsu. So thank you again for joining us. We're excited to be here. I know we've gone through day camp hours, so Monday through Thursday we'll have a same set schedule. Friday we'll have a shorter schedule. For those parents who will not be volunteering with us, they're just going to be dropping off their kids, we've asked them to stick with the 8:30, no earlier, because we are asking all of you parent volunteers to come a little bit earlier to get ready for setup. If you're a unit leader, you'll be coming on site early to make sure everything's ready to go for those scouts who are in your units. So just to give you a heads up, we don't expect to see a lot of scouts anytime before 8:30, unless the scouts just so happen to be your kids. Your kids will be coming at the earlier time that you'll be joining us at day camp, which is around 7:45. And so for volunteers, and this is where we can emphasize a lot of our camp is happening because of you. So we are very dependent on volunteers. So thank you so much for spending your time with us. We will start volunteer hours on Sunday, and we do have Sign Up Genius links on the website at their Meridian Day Camp website. So volunteering starts on Sunday with pickup from a storage at 10 a.m. and setting up at Little Hills at noon. So we are asking those folks who are part of the station to come to Little Hills at noon on Sunday to help set up with their stations. And so if you're a volunteer who has signed up on this Sign Up Genius, as well as leading a station, please come at noon so you can make sure that you test everything out and make sure everything else is all set up and ready to go for Monday morning.
Let me suggest one other thing, too. If you're not part of a camp activity station or, you know, program station, but you're just a unit leader, we would invite you to come to camp, probably not right at noon, because, again, we have a certain amount of people coming in right at noon, but maybe about 12:30. Come into camp. You can go see where your unit will meet at the activities field during the opening and so on. Then you can also see where your picnic table will be. And, again, maybe I should suggest coming about maybe 3 o'clock. Because by then we'll actually have picnic tables in place. We'll have the numbers on it for the unit numbers and stuff. So if you come at about 3 p.m., you can actually see where your table will be. If you wanted to bring in a canopy, then you could go ahead and bring it in Sunday afternoon and set it up. The one thing is anybody that's bringing in a canopy, we really want to make certain that you can anchor it down through either stakes or by using weights and stuff like that. Do that. But it'll give you a chance to see exactly where your unit will be. I think everything should be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Yep. And going to that, for the actual day camp itself, we are asking volunteers to please come early, around 7:45, just to make sure everything is set up and ready to go for unit leaders as well as for station. So if you haven't signed up for anything yet, sign up is available. We have slots available for folks to sign up, and we definitely thanks, Ashley, for putting it in the chat. We definitely could use more help. So sign up where you can.
Can I take a moment here? So, Cassie, would it be okay for me to share my screen for a moment?
Of course.
Okay. Awesome. Let me get this. Make sure I have the right thing up. Okay. So here's where we're at. these are our units, and this is how I track myself. These are our units, how many are in each unit, whether it's male or female. We've got, with BSA rules, we have to have units that are separated by gender, so females are their own units. Those are mixed of packs, as you can see here. These are the units and what packs are in each unit. And here are our unit leaders. So you see all those red marks. Those are units that have zero leaders in them. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 units. 5 times at least 11 scouts do not have unit leaders. This is super important because if we can't fill out the unit leader spot, those scouts cannot come to camp. That's a lot of scouts, right? The reason for that is safety. So BSA requires that we have a 1-to-6 unit leader representation. So for every 6 scouts we have to have a leader. Mm-hmm. And so each one we've got about 12 with the exception of unit 4, but we've got multiple leaders there as well to cover that capacity. But with some of these units, we don't have them. So beyond the stations, I know it's going to be really easy to go to the signed-up geniuses and say, let me do traffic, or let me do this station, and let me pick that station because that sounds fun. Those stations won't be able to exist if we can't get these unit leaders first. So the main priority, first and foremost, is to get unit leaders for all of these units, which means all of these red marks need to be filled in. The reason I have some in yellow is, hey, we've secured one. Now we need a second. But with these, this unit can't exist because we don't have leaders. So my plea to you adults on this is to take a look at this and go to the Sign Up Genius and see, where can I really make sure this camp happens? Unit leader sounds intimidating, but to me it's probably the easiest of the volunteers, because with the other activity stations, you have to demonstrate and really get in there and teach kids all day. For me, I led Nature Hike last year, and I had to hike 6 times every day. It's more than you realize. But with unit leaders, you're essentially keeping the kids corralled, and you're taking them from station to station. You're helping at the unit stations if they have questions or maybe need a little bit of extra set of hands. But you're really just making sure these kids stay together and coordinated throughout the day.
And I was going to say, you're really experiencing camp just like the Cub Scouts are. You're going station to station, getting involved with every activity they're doing, and it's a wonderful experience.
Yeah, you get to do the activities with them if you want. You can do the engineering project. You can make the craft project. You can eat the cooking. You get to do it with them, and it is pretty fun. The one caveat to this, though, our units 11, 12, and 3, our 3 female units, require at least 1 female unit leader in there. So if you are an adult volunteer and you are a female and you're looking for somewhere to help, please consider filling in these spots, because we need at least 1 out of the 2 unit leaders to be a female. And that's, again, BSA safeties regulation. So my plea is done. I'll give the screen back to you, Kathy. But consider that when you go to the Sign Up Genius, if you need to split days, like I'll be there 3 days, I can cover that unit for those days. Please fill that in, because 3 days is better than 0 days. So, thank you.
I think I have the exact question, actually. So, I can cover for 4 days. There is a Tuesday, 14th, my tag. On the 14th, that's my tag, and I will go to UCSF for a doctoral appointment. And we probably spend 2 hours over there, so I think that Tuesday is but I can use the rest of the week. I'm trying to see if my wife can bring him up to the UCSF in Ramo, so I can cover 5 days. But maybe I think I can do 4 days. But if that's okay.
Yeah, I would say if you can, sign up for the days you know you can cover now, especially if it's 4 days. That's great.
Okay.
And then if we, maybe someone else can cover that other day. And if not, as you figure that out, maybe it'll work out. But I would say definitely sign up for the days that you know. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah.
And just a clarification, Ashley, I know we've been receiving emails on folks being able to be unit leaders as well directly to the day camp email. So the way we are going to be assigning unit leaders is through the sign up genius. So if whoever is going to be planning to be a unit leader, please sign up through sign up genius. Is that correct, Ashley?
Yes, that's correct. That helps me. Unless you email me, like if you email the day camp site again, like if somehow an email got lost, email the day camp site again, please. My apologies for redundancy, but email us and let us know, hey, I've got that unit covered. I'll fill it in for you. But, you know, if you go to the sign up Janus directly, that works too. We just appreciate you.
Yeah, that's good.
So my question was on like Unit 7, for example. So I signed up to be a unit leader for Unit 7, and I see that PAC 996 was in there. So does that mean the units this year are co-ed?
No. So units, we are having a boy unit and a girl unit. So the girls of 996 will be in their own unit, and the boys from 996 will be in a separate unit.
Oh, okay. Because in that spreadsheet you had on the screen, I didn't see 996 anywhere else except for Unit 7.
It's in Unit 13. Are you wanting to be a unit leader for 13 instead?
No. Well, I mean, I could. My daughter's also in 996.
Okay.
So, but is that okay? I mean, because last year all the female units had, at least from what I saw, had female unit leaders.
As long as we can get a female leader also to cover 13 with you, it's great. It's perfect. Because as you can see, none of our female units are covered right now. So if you're like, hey, I actually kind of want to be over there, we can switch that over and see if we can get the female leader in to help one signed up for 13.
Okay. Well, if you could mark me down. So I signed up all 5 days for Unit 7 just right now.
Mm-hmm.
But if they need one for, you know, PAC 996 Unit 13, sure, I can help out there as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Hi. The questions are coming through. Just to emphasize, so Ashley did mention we do need unit leaders, but we also are going to be having leaders who are running the stations. And so the thing we're asking unit leaders, because if we're short on having all hands on stations, say we only have one person who's able to help out with the activity station, the unit leaders, and this is another key point why they're important, they will be also helping out at the activity station as well. If that makes sense.
And Dev, I see, where do we sign up for unit leader? You signed up for it. I'll get you signed up and put you on the list. So not a problem. So are you wanting to be a unit leader for, I think that's unit two, all 5 days?
I could sign up, Ashley. Like, I just now signed up.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Thank you. You got it. And Marta, you can share it. On that sign up genius, I have the unit leaders broken up by days. So pick the days that you're going to be there so then we know which days are covered and which days still need to be covered.
Hi, I have a question.
Yeah, sure.
So I am still in the middle of finishing up my, application form and stuff. What I need to know is, what is the last day for me to sign up for the volunteer, like whether to be a leader or not? And is there a separate training to be a leader?
So we're
I would say the day before. I would say the last day you can sign up to be a volunteer is the day that we fill all the spots. So if we are cutting it down to the wire on Sunday on unit leaders and that spot's still open, you know, that might be the last day. I would prefer not to wait to have all the unit leaders filled then, just so we know those units can proceed. But, as soon as you know, that would be fantastic. Tracy, I saw you have a question about keeping 841 together. Per BSA, we cannot combine male and female. So the units do have to stay separated. That's not our policy. That's a BSA requirement. So unfortunately, we do have to split up the packs based on that. I did, when putting the units together, try and keep the packs completely whole as much as possible. So meaning I can't keep the male and female together, but I did keep the males together, and I believe I tried to keep even the females from the same pack together. So that should, at least trying to keep that pack unit together, was the, you know, priority for me, just because we can't have male and female together.
I have another question. So if I'm, you know, going to be with my son who's a tiger, will I need to be a unit leader for that particular unit?
If you were
to be,
yeah, if you, so I think I know which unit you're in, and let me double check. I just want to make sure I'm not speaking out of, but I'm pretty sure I'm familiar because you and I have been corresponding. So if you were able to be a unit leader for that specific one, then that could be helpful, but I think we have another person signing up for a second unit leader position for that. Either way, you'll want to be with your tiger, and I'm wanting to stay with your pack. So we'll figure out if we have lots of unit leaders, which is a great problem to have, right? We might shift an adult to a different unit. I would rather switch a non-tiger unit leader, though, to a different unit than a tiger, and the reason for that is if I move you, I have to move your tiger, because you have to stay with your tiger the entire time. So versus separate your tiger from their pack, we might see what other leader might be willing to switch to a different unit that doesn't have a tiger, if that makes sense.
Okay, and then for being a leader, is there a separate training that needs to be done, or the adult training is the same?
This training would be the same training for unit leaders.
I see. So I think that's the only one that I need to do. I've been waiting because, you know, I have some things pending, and I would come to know in a couple of days whether or not, you know, I'm able to postpone that, because I really want my son to go to this camp. So that's why I'm putting things in place and I'm attending all the meetings. But hopefully, you know, I can sign up, because I'm excited too.
So there's a few, thank you, by the way, for your questions and clarifications. We hope you're able to come to camp. There's a few questions I'm trying to get to, make sure I hit all of them. So if you are it's in regards to the tags. Can your tags go if you're helping with a female unit? So here's the thing with tags. They don't go with you to your unit. Whether you're with a boy unit or a girl unit, your tags are not with you at that unit. Tags have their own space at camp. And it's actually nice. They get like a sheltered, covered space with like Legos and crayons, and there's going to be two leaders there as well, and a bunch of junior helpers who don't want to be out in the sun, keeping your kids super amused while you're out volunteering at camp. And those tags get to go visit a few of the stations that are age appropriate for them, like crafts and cooking. But for the most part, they're having a good old time in the tags unit area. So if you want to help with a female unit, don't worry about your tag. If your tag is a boy or whatever, your tag's going to be somewhere else, and they're going to be having a great time. We have lots of all sorts of tubs and stuff for them filled with activities to keep them occupied throughout camp. So they're going to have a great time. I'm going to have a tag there too. So I actually kind of personally assigned my junior helper daughter to be in the tag station because I know she can entertain kids. So, yeah, so it's going to be, they'll be occupied, and they don't go with you from station to station. So you don't have to worry about that. You can focus as a unit leader.
Got it.
Great. Into that, we do need some volunteers to help with our tag station. That is one group that we do not have any volunteers yet assigned to help out with our tags. And so,
I think we've got one.
Okay, we have one.
But if we could get another one,
more.
Yeah.
Yes, because again, going back to that leadership, we do need at least two leaders to help out. So. Tag leader makes it possible as well. for us to have day camp.
And Marta, I noticed you asked about the, you don't see the pack numbers for the female units on the sign-up genius. If that'll help, I can get that added this evening to see, because they are mixed with so many packs, I didn't put those in. But if that's helpful to know where to volunteer, I'll get those put in the, tonight.
Great. So in unit 6, I see pack 995. So that is like boys in that unit, or it's girls too? It's just boys. Unit
so
6.
All units 1 through, I believe, 10. Are male units. 11, 12, and 13 are our female units.
Okay, thank you. So, you will update the sheet, where the female each pack will be there?
Yes. So, it's still being worked on as we're going through the finalizing the the registration. And I think I'm hearing myself.
Thank you.
So I'm going to go quickly as we have 20 more minutes left on the clock. So these are volunteer, I think this was covered in the adult orientation. If you have any questions, feel free to email us. But we are asking parent volunteers, again, going through the volunteer parking lots, back into your spots, and please have a volunteer day pass with you so we can contact you if there's anything we need to reach out to you regarding your car. And we will be going through when you arrive in camp, please go to the headquarters tent. That is the first tent you'll see when you arrive at Little Hills. That is for your check-in, so that we know, because only the folks who are volunteering with us as well as the scouts will be allowed on site at Little Hills. And so that's how we keep track of everybody who is on site. And we will have special guest visitors for the noontime activity, but they will be giving a badge or a name tag. So that's how we know that who is on site should be on site. And then COVID, I think we've gone through this, unless there are any parents who haven't, who didn't join us at the parent orientation. Just a high level spiel on COVID. So we're doing everything we can to safeguard ourselves against COVID. But if you have any symptoms that you see here on the left, or if the kids have any symptoms, scouts have any symptoms, please stay home so we protect all of ourselves. We are not requiring masks, but if you do want to wear masks, feel free to do so and bring extra masks with you, as it can get hot during the day, masks get lost. But again, if you're not feeling well, stay home and stay better. Stay home and hope you feel better. So that, anything, Rand, as I go through the slides quite quickly?
No, I think we've pretty much covered it all, unless there's a specific question about it.
And as we mentioned, water bottles will be throughout the park or throughout Little Hills, water bottle stations to fill up, and bring your own water bottles. We are going to ask you and the junior helpers to help the youth fill up their water bottles.
And just make certain that, you know, everybody's drinking, making certain that every scout has a water bottle. If they don't, let us know at headquarters. We'll have some extra water at headquarters because we don't want anybody getting dehydrated. Also, the water that we have there, we bring in ice, and so it's ice water, so it should be nice and cool, and would encourage people to drink it.
And then for our unit tables, so we will have cleaning supplies at every unit table. The arts and craft tables will have covers on them, as the kids are going to be using a lot of glue and other stuff. But other tables, they'll just be plain bench tables, no cloths on them. But we will have also hand sanitizing bottles throughout camp if folks want to use hand sanitizer as well. So again, this is where the unit tables will be. This is a preliminary list of the camp units as well as the packs that are associated with the units. We will have 13 units with around 11 to 14 scouts, broken up between boys and three girl units. So this is subject to change, depending on how our final headcount shakes out. But this is at this moment what we have. I think that's as of last night. So again, this isn't final. Changes possible to come. But our unit tables will be two tables per unit. And this is where the map of where we will have our unit tables at Little Hills.
And just so you know, pretty much all those tables are fairly well shaded. But again, if you come Sunday afternoon, you can just confirm that, you know, everything is okay. And like I said, if you want to bring a canopy, feel free to do that. Just be mindful that you need to stake it down to ensure that it doesn't become airborne and cause any hazard to anybody.
And to that, Mr. Ann said, feel free to bring a canopy for shade for your units.
Mm-hmm. And just one tip is that some unit leaders will bring pieces of rope or like, carabiners, and so they'll actually take the kids' day packs and hang them from the framework of the canopy itself. So it's one way of kind of keeping things organized.
Hey, Tracy, I don't want you to think we're ignoring your questions. So we do take junior helpers, which is a different registration for the kiddos. If you have a 13-year-old who's able to volunteer, they do not cover the adult volunteer stations that we're trying to cover, but they do provide assistance at the different stations. They get assigned those duties when they come to camp. But their main responsibility is usually filling up the waters and making sure that water is maintained throughout camp throughout the entire day so that everyone's hydrated. In terms of do volunteers need to complete an online safety course before volunteering, there is a volunteer process where it's, if we're talking about junior helpers, that's different. They don't do this. But if we're talking about adult helpers, there is a YPT course as well as an online California mandatory reporter training that we would want to have our adults do if they want to volunteer. So I hope that helped answer some of the questions.
And just, again, for clarification, the BSA adult registration is required along with the California State AB 506 online training and live scan for anybody that is working with scouts. So if you're, say, doing camp setup, takedown, you're doing activity station prep before camp, if you are doing things like loading up the truck over storage and stuff like that, you do not have to be a registered BSA leader. Everybody else that is working with scouts need to be registered. We need your BSA application within the next couple of days. And this is also a good opportunity for anybody that needs the AB 506 live scan. We have a great opportunity for you Tuesday evening right here in San Ramon. And I will put it in the chat here. You can simply sign up, come with your credit card. It's $37. And what we've done to try to offset the cost is that anybody that's volunteering, we did not raise your price for day camp compared to Cub Scouts that don't have a parent volunteer. For those, we raised them $50, so we figure that the $37 that you need to do for AB 506 will help offset that.
Just a quick question about the life scan. And so I saw somewhere it's only for the unit leaders. Is that for every adult volunteers?
Well, let me give you some examples. Unit leaders, yes. If you're working a day camp activity station, such as crafts or engineering or cooking or hiking, whatever, you are working with scouts, and we need to have you registered. We need to have the BSA background check on you as well as California AB 506 requirements. Does that answer your question?
Yes or no, because I don't know what I'm going to do there, but I'm not a leader, so that's all I know.
So basically anybody that's going to be at day camp, anyone who's volunteering, if you're coming onto the day camp site, you're going to need to have it done. So
the one exception would be if somebody's doing traffic or parking, too. They don't have to be a registered.
So I think for that specific volunteer, though, Rand, they are going to be working a unit station. So for that one, they would need to be present.
And again, this is a BSA requirement, so it's required by national, and also it's a California state requirement. So these aren't just our rules. These are basically national BSA rules and California state rules.
So just, I think I'm just looking through the other questions that are in the chat. Yes, so once we finalize unit leaders, we will also have a parent handbook that we'll be making available to everybody, which will have the units that folks will be in, as well as the unit leaders, associate unit leaders will be leading those units. So you'll know who your unit leader is once you get the list finalized.
Can I clarify one thing around the unit leaders for female units? At least one of them, of the unit leaders, has to be female, but the other person could be male. Is that correct, or do they both have to be female?
No, just one.
Great. Thank you.
And just in case you're wondering, I think there was a question or something that came up. It's acceptable to BSA to have two women leading a boys' unit, but BSA requires that if it's a girls' unit, we have to have at least one adult female.
And in terms of camp uniform, you'll know who the leader, unit leaders will be wearing purple shirts. So we will have T-shirts to designate who's a Cub Scout or a junior helper. They'll be wearing green with the junior helpers will be wearing a golden bandana. Tags will be wearing green. But any leaders, any station leaders or volunteers who will be on site, will be wearing purple T-shirts. So in terms of the camp uniform, T-shirts and whatever is comfortable, pants or shorts, but we do ask for closed-toed shoes on site. So we just have a comment. Thanks for signing up for first aid, John.
I'm responding to John right now.
Okay,
he can just mail it to me.
Okay. And so camp rules. So some of the camp rules, we ask everybody to wear the official camp uniform, which is the T-shirt, just so we can easily identify who's who on site. Everybody will do their best to be on time as we are part of a team, and we do have a schedule of activities that I will be sharing in a few slides down. But we do have a schedule of activities where we do start on time and end on time throughout the day, so please do your best to be on time. As for the, let me see, sorry, I'm trying to move my stuff around so I can read my screen.
Let me say one thing, too. I mean, smoking is obvious, you know, or alcoholic beverages, but also vaping products, too. We don't allow vaping products within the day campgrounds as well.
And so that includes the smoking and alcoholic beverages. And so in terms of volunteers, you are on site around a number of young kids. So you please ask to be mindful of your language or actions. Kids pick up things really fast, and it's amazing that these kids, you know, they look up to our junior helpers, our adult staff, in terms of being role models. So we just ask volunteers to set a good example for all of our kids on site.
Mm-hmm. I have one more question. So the time that we, you know, are going to be leaving would be 4 o'clock, or will it be later than 4? Especially if I have a tiger, will I be taking him home a little later than that? Cause that might be a little longer day for him.
So We are having dismissal at 4 o'clock. So are you volunteering on site as well?
Yes, I am planning to.
Yeah, so most likely you're a unit leader as well as a tiger partner. And so it'll probably be more like 4:15, 4:20, because you need to be there with your tiger, but you need to make certain that the scouts in your unit get picked up at the end of the day. So it'll probably be about 4:20 versus maybe 4 o'clock.
I see. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
And as mentioned, we do have a schedule for every day. So Monday through Thursday, we will have 6 areas of activities for the kids to rotate through throughout the day, with lunch and noontime entertainment breaking up those sessions, and opening and closing ceremonies, opening starting at 8:50 and we're ending the day at 4 o'clock.
And just to be clear, this is just the example for Unit 1. So Unit 2 would have everything shifted as along with Unit 3. So we can't have all the units doing crafts at the same time.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. At the most, each station will see around, say, 24 to 34 kids. Some stations will, like Scout Skills, Nature Cooking that we have listed here, it'll be one unit at a time that we'll be rotating through. And so this is the master schedule that we have. I know it's a bit intimidating with a lot of units as well as where they're rotating through, but each unit leader will be getting, as well as each station lead, or each station will be getting a copy of the schedule. Just so you know which unit will be rotating through your station, unit leads will know where they're supposed to go for each section of the day. But this, a copy of the schedule will be placed at every station as well as with every unit leader. Okay. And swimming, if you're new to our session or didn't hear it in the earlier session, so swimming, we're around 90% certain that we're going to go move forward for swimming. Swimming is from Monday through Thursday, and we ask that the scouts will be wearing their swim clothes underneath their clothes so they can get started with their aquatics activities as soon as possible. And one thing is we will have a rope, I guess, down the middle. That's to distinguish between the non-swimmers and the swimmers. The deep end of the pool will be for the swimmers. And then we do have a shallow end of the pool for non-swimmers.
And there's like a time for changing, or there's a time for removing the wet clothes and putting in a, you know, do you have to store it in like a bag in their backpack or something? Like, what's the deal on that?
Yes.
Yeah. So typically they stop swimming about 10 minutes before the end of the period. Have the kids get out of the pool, dry off, and there are changing stations so they can go ahead and change. Every scout should bring a Ziploc bag to put their wet swimsuit in so that everything else in the backpack doesn't get wet.
Perfect.
And as a unit leader, it probably wouldn't hurt to bring some extra Ziploc bags and stuff like that too.
And also, every scout will be given a wristband. They will be wearing this wristband throughout the duration of camp to designate if they are a non-swimmer or beginner swimmer staying on the shallow side of the pool, or if they're a swimmer. So lifeguards as well as the volunteers at the aquatics will be checking for these wristbands. So health and safety, we will be going through these 5 items regarding health and safety. We're all about safety, wanting to make sure that everybody has a buddy to keep an eye on each other, and we know what to do in case of an emergency. So it's part of our guide to safe scouting, and we also have a number of items that we will be going through regarding the if there's a fire drill or any accidents that were to occur. So we will be asking everybody for the buddy system. So on Monday. That's where we'll be doing our buddy check to make sure all scouts have a buddy that they are paired with for the day. And then going to the first aid station. So, again, first aid station will be right next to the pool. That's where we'll be having all of our medication as well as all the AB forms just in case our medics and staff there need to reference it for any scouts who are to show up at the first aid station. Again, medication. So medication, we will be leaving at the first aid station in a 1 gallon Ziploc bag. So make sure the Ziploc bags have the name of the scout as well as the pack or troop that they're with so it can be easily accessed. And for all medication, we ask that they are also in the original container as well as any special instructions that are needed to go along with the medication. Okay, youth protection. So we are asking all adult volunteers to go through youth protection. So you should have finished the youth protection training online as well as provided a copy of the youth protection certificate to your camp PAC coordinator as well as a copy to Rand. I believe, Rand, you are collecting those youth protection certificates.
Yes, let me just clarify. If you're currently a registered leader, like a den leader, cup master, something like that, the only way you can be that is this year is to have current YPT. So I know you're already current. But if you're signing up to become a day camp staff person or you're just becoming a BSA registered adult leader, that's where I want to have that YPT. 90% of the time I can look it up and see it in the system. It's the other 10% of the time that I can't, and then all of a sudden it takes a long time for us to finally get you registered.
So, Rand, if we're registered and we took YPT last summer for a camp, we're good, right?
If you took it last year. And if in doubt, just email me, rand.mahoney@scouting.org. And just ask me to look you up, and I can confirm it.
Okay, thanks. Yep.
Hey, Ren. I just sent you a text message, and I believe I'm going through the registration process as an adult volunteer. Is that another step? Is I'm going to pay the $45 and be done with?
Yes, if you do that and register with the PAC, then you will be registered with that PAC. And then what you do is reach out to your PAC leadership and specifically the charter organization rep, and they're the ones that will have to approve the online registration. I did see that you're current on YPT, so you're good there. Yeah. And then that'll take care of it, and then you're all done with that part of the adult packet.
Thank you. And I have another question. Actually, I think the question is for you. So I signed up for Unit 6 leader except Tuesday. So for me, I just talked with my wife. If my wife is going to work out the logistics on Tuesday, she can bring the tag to UCSF, and she can bring him back and drop him in the camp at about 11 a.m. around noon time. Is that possible? If she can do that, I mean, if you guys allow a late tag.
As long as you're there volunteering on site, I have no problem with your wife dropping your tag off at 11.
Okay,
she would just need to bring your tag to headquarters so that they can get the tag over to the correct space.
Okay, no problem. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Comments or questions? Okay, so cameras and imaging device. So we will have some unit leaders. They will be taking pictures of scouts as they're doing their activities and sharing them with parents. But we will be putting limits around those pictures, being mindful of everybody's privacy. So we just ask no pictures taken in restrooms, changing rooms, or anywhere else where privacy is required. Okay, reporting requirements. So as you all are leaders, if you are helping out on site at day camp, as you've seen in the YPP or the youth protection training, scouts may disclose to you at some point there's some uncomfortable situations. So that's where you can reach out to a day camp staff, Miss Ashley, myself, Mr. Ann, Miss Elaine, and then we can work together to figure out the next steps with the situation. And camper security. So this is where it's really important in terms of the check-in and check-out procedures. So check-in every day. We ask everybody to check in at headquarters so we know who's on site, as well as the unit leaders. They will be arriving early to get ready to receive all their scouts who will be joining them for that morning. Monday check-in. So this will be the first time for unit leaders you'll be seeing your scouts. So we're asking everybody to gather at the gathering area so that the scouts will know who or which unit will be they'll be with and who will be their unit leader. And that's when, once the unit leader gathers all of their scouts, they're going to take them to the units tables on Monday to do some unit activities so everybody can get to know each other.
And along with those, the unit time, some of the things that you'll be working on is, you know, decorating your unit flag. You'll, you know, want to think about maybe putting together a unit cheer for your unit. And then on Friday, we will have a skit that's done by each unit. So you may want to start brainstorming on skit ideas. These should be a skit that's probably just, 1 to 3 minutes long, or maybe several questions or riddles or jokes or whatever you want to do. If you guys want to sing a song, that's fine. But it's an opportunity to start talking with your scouts about, gee, what do we want to share with the rest of the camp on Friday during our afternoon.
And we will be taking attendance of all the folks, the scouts who are on site. And this is where the unit leader, you'll be marking down who's in attendance. So there will be a sign-in sheet with the unit binder. And we will be collecting those sign-in sheets after the opening ceremony, opening assembly. Just to note down who's here and who's not here. So if we notice a scout missing, we will be calling the parents if they have not already contacted us that their scout will be missing day camp for the day.
And it's really a good idea for every unit leader to reach out and talk to each parent of every scout in your unit, ideally a few days ahead of time. If you don't already know them, it's a good chance for you to get to know them a little bit. Find out whether or not there are any medical or behavioral concerns that the parent may have that they're willing to share, because that'll make your life and the scout's life a little bit easier, and any concerns that they may have as well. So it'll be good to have that dialogue a few days ahead of time.
Any unauthorized person on camp. So as we mentioned, we will be having all of our volunteers who we know who will be on site, scouts will be on site, a few visitors who will be helping out at the noontime show, but that is really it. If you see any strangers or unwanted folks, who our visitors will be identified by wearing a name tag. If you see anybody who is on site who shouldn't be on site, please let us know, and then we can go ahead and approach them and ask them to leave the property. Okay, and Arcana, we will be providing a list of scouts in your unit once we finalize the numbers and get all the units finalized. Marta, question on when do we turn in the PAC paperwork binder? So we are working on getting a volunteer on binder checking. Once we get a volunteer for a binder check, that's when we'll know who we need to turn in the paperwork to collect all the papers for everybody and put them in the unit binders. I think that is one other volunteer slot that is still open.
We have one pack binder, Chuck, and we actually created the sign-up DUs for the slot. I'll be sending that out to the CPCs this evening for the time slots. We may need more time slots, but we've established some for this upcoming week, a few hours every day, and if we need more, we'll put more in. You do not need separate binders for the girls and boys, but you do want to make sure your binder does have separate tabs as put in the CPC document for your campers, your junior helpers, your adult volunteers, and your adult certifications. But all the boys and girls can go in, you know, each section of their coordinating. It doesn't have to be separated out. I think that was the only part of that question. But, yeah, so I will send out that sign up genius, and Rand will put it on the website, the Meridian Day Camp website, for the pack binder checks. Those are going to be this upcoming week. Like I said, opportunities every day, so jump on yours.
So it sounds like we really could use a second person to be the pack binder checker. And again, this is a great opportunity to fulfill 2 days of work and get a discount. And then also the other good thing is in doing pack binder check, if that's all you're doing and you're not working with scouts, you don't have to be that BSA registered adult and you don't have to undergo the AB 506 background check.
In terms of media, Brand, is there anything to add to this slide?
No, I mean, we're really in an isolated area. It'd be extremely unlikely that we would have anybody come to us unless there's something major. You know, if there's a major incident, a medical, an accident, those are probably the most likely types of things where the news media may hear something about that, drive out there and want to interview people. And, you know, we'll have people probably evacuating the camp. But, again, if you're out in the parking lot leaving with your campers and stuff like that, please do not talk to the media on behalf of scouts or anything like that. Direct them to me, and I'll be the one that will work with our scout executive to give official statements to the media.
And thanks, PJ. In terms of time check, is 8:42. So I think we do have a few more slides to go.
Just really quickly, on the binder check for my CPCs, with the binders, if you have everything in there that's correct, that's great, but it's still not going to pass the binder check if every person on your roster is not inside of that binder. So we will send you the most current list of who is registered from your PAC. But when they're checking the binder, they're going to be marking off if each person is presented that's on that roster. So please make sure, you know, it's like, well, they didn't get that to me, but everybody else's forms are in there correctly.
Yeah.
We got to have everybody in
it
there.
It has to be complete. Has to be complete with everybody, and make double, triple sure that everybody has all the required forms and that all the forms are completely filled out. If there's stuff missing, our PAC binder check person will not be able to sign off and accept the PAC binder from you. They will give it back to you, and then you have to make a second trip back to see them. So you'll make your life a lot easier, as well as that for the camp binder check person, to just make certain everything's complete before you go see them. And it will take a little bit of time, because they're going to sit down and they're going to go through it with you, you know, piece by piece, and make certain that everything's complete. Once it is, it will get turned into them. It will then be brought to day camp. And then at the end of the camp on Friday afternoons, we would ask that somebody from your pack pick up the binders to take them back. Otherwise, I will end up shredding all that paperwork.
Thanks. And so the next set is just around emergency procedures, and I'll focus on the alert signals. The alert signals will be applicable to a lot of these other incidents around if we have a lost camper or somebody's missing, if we have an accident, a fire, severe weather, could be wildfire, so that's where we'll be utilizing the alert signals. And alert signals will be 3 short blasts from the air horn. So each activity station will have an air horn for any emergency situations, as well as a walkie-talkie to communicate with the camp directors, Eileen, Ashley, and I, as well as Rand, because there is no cell phone reception, no cell phone service at Little Hills on site itself. So the gathering area for, if we hear 3 short blasts from the air horn, will be the parking lot area. And that's where we're asking everybody to gather around, as well as do a buddy check to make sure that we do have everybody with us if there is to be an emergency.
And just so you know, we'll give you a heads up, but please keep this to yourself. We will be having an emergency drill Monday during lunchtime. So we're going to give you enough time to have lunch, but then we're going to do the practice drill. We'll have everybody go out to the parking lot to make certain that you're accounted for, and then we'll have the fire department there to basically do a noontime show and tell.
Perfect. And so that's the important thing about the buddy system, is that if a buddy notices that their buddy is missing, they will need to inform the adult leaders as well as the unit leaders to make sure we can find this person if this person is missing. If we cannot find a camper, that's where you hear 3 short air horn blasts so that we can assemble in the gathering location and make sure we do the next steps to find the person if they're missing. If there's an accident or illness, buddies come in handy too. The buddy will walk their buddy over to the first aid station to get the first aid administered as needed. If it is a serious incident, we will be notifying the parents. And as always with items like this, when it comes to medical, we respect everybody's privacy. Please don't discuss this amongst everybody. Okay. For fire, that's where you'll hear the emergency signal again, 3 short air horn blasts. If you see anything, because we are in Little Hillers, there's a lot of brush around the camp, and it is possible to have a fire, notify somebody immediately. Again, walkie-talkies will be at every activity station, and they can come in contact with the program directors to make sure that we do the next steps as fast as possible and keep everybody safe. Severe weather, again, going back to the wildfire. Severe weather, Rand, you had a really good point. If it's hot outside, we want to make sure everybody stays well hydrated and takes care of themselves. I think that would be the instance in terms of severe weather. We want to make sure nobody's dehydrated. Nobody's overheating themselves. So just be mindful of how your body feels, how the scouts are doing. Make sure everybody drinks water throughout the day.
Yeah. And speaking of buddies, I mean, even as adults, we kind of have our own buddies, or we're kind of responsible for one another. So look out for one another. So if you're a unit leader, you have another unit leader, make certain that both of you are doing okay. And I'll tell you that as adults, sometimes this weather can be tough on us too, just being out there. And so let your unit leader know, your fellow unit leader, let us know as camp staff. If you need to take a break for a half an hour or something like that, just let us know. We'll come and get somebody to relieve you. You can come to headquarters. You can go to first aid. Send in a place where we have a cooling fan and stuff like that. You can just kind of get a chance to kind of regroup and stuff like that. Also, if you're just feeling a little bit overwhelmed with all the hyperactive kids that we may have and stuff like that, feel free to just take a break from that. We want to make certain that you're doing well as well as all the scouts in your unit.
again, if there are any animals, stay away from the animals. There's deer in the area that we'll be in, so just be mindful, leave them alone, and stay on the hiking trails. Okay, going to stress management. I think we're wrapping up here. So, day camp. Well, lots of activities are going to be happening. Lots of kids and just staying with a lot of the schedules. So if you do need a break, that's why we have two leaders, two camp unit leaders with each unit. Feel free to take a break, take a breather. Call one of us, one of the directors, if you need any help. Again, there's a lot going on, and we know that a lot of y'all could use a break at one point in time. So also just feel free to ask for help. One last thing I want to mention is campers who require a break from their unit. So there will be some times when there will be a camper who just need some quiet time. If they are misbehaving or if they really just are giving you a difficult time as a unit leader, we will have this VIP pass system. And so if you have that camper, give them a VIP pass, which they will go with their buddy to take this VIP pass to the headquarters. And at headquarters, we'll just have them sit down, drink some water, take a break, take a breather, and just talk with them. Sometimes kids just need a break from all the activities. Kids, it's hot outside or it's just a lot going on. So that's what we can do to help you as a unit leader. If you just have that one child who just needs to take a break from all the activities. Questions or comments?
I think the one caveat to that, though, is the level of requiring a break. If a camper is being violent or bullying, that's a little different. So if that's a situation that arises, I would contact us headquarters like pretty quickly so we can address that as if it arises.
Mm-hmm. I had a question like related to the stress slide.
Yes.
So like last year as a unit leader, I had a kid in our unit that was a little troublesome to both me and the other unit leader. So mm-hmm. for example, he would throw his mask on the floor. We told him to pick it up. Then he just walks away. Mm-hmm. So we have to go pick up the mask. And then another incident where he just refuses to participate in activities and even tried to run off into the bushes, so we had to chase him. So any recommendations? I mean, luckily his dad was a volunteer, so I got to talk directly with his dad. But mm-hmm. any suggestions for kids whose parents are not volunteers, and how do we deal with that? And probably a good question for newcomer parents, too, to see if, you know, how would they deal with that? Because I was new to it last year, and that caught me completely off guard.
Yeah. Well, it can happen, and so this is the one where, I mean, there are a couple options. You can have them take that VIP envelope and say, we need you to make this special delivery of this important envelope to headquarters. Take your buddy and go. Or if it seems unlikely that you trust the kid going with their buddy to headquarters, you may want to just walk that person, right to headquarters, and then we'll go ahead and work with the scout and kind of figure out what's going on. And, you know, quite likely, you know, myself or Cassie or Ashley will be reaching out to those parents right away by phone and having a conversation with them and saying, how can we best ensure that your scout has a good experience at camp, along with ensuring that all the other scouts in that unit have a good experience too.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. Any other questions or comments?
Yeah, actually, that was a really good question, you know. So, yeah, on the same lines, you know, if any kid doesn't listen to your instructions, right? So, like, where do you stop? Like, I'm sure it's not the volunteer's responsibility to discipline them or whatever. If they don't listen to you, how do you proceed? Like, we just come to you guys and you'll talk to the parents?
Yep. Just let us get involved, and then we will work with that scout and their parents. You know, and it could be that if this continues to be a problem, we'll just say to the parents, we're really sorry, but this is not working out. And, you know, we're not going to be able to have your child stay at camp. I mean, the first thing would be that we'll try to work with them over the phone and see what we can do. Second, maybe you come and pick up your child for the rest of today, and we'll see how it goes tomorrow. Or it may be, you know, we're really sorry, but this is not working, and so we're not going to be able to have your child come back to camp all week. But again, we'll try to work with everybody and, you know, make it a reasonable experience for everybody. But, you know, we have to make certain that it is a safe and fun environment for everybody.
Thank you.
So one question in the chat, would it be possible to have siblings split into different groups? So that's only if the siblings are male and female. Otherwise, we would try to keep the siblings. So basically, we're keeping the packs together as much as we can in the units.
Right? I mean, if a parent is requesting they get separated for whatever reason, maybe it's they clash and that would be a distraction to the unit, you know, we could consider it. The thing I would caution is that which kid gets shifted away from their unit, their pack, because they might feel ostracized a bit, right? If they're used to being with their pack all year, which sibling ends up being the one that gets kicked away? So if you as a parent know, hey, I want my kids split up because it'll be a distraction, this one's okay rolling with wherever, email me, let me know, we can figure it out. But just consider that the packs are like a family, and if it, you know, you're kicking one out, just know that may feel like they're being pushed away from their family. So, just something to consider. But if it's something you feel strongly about, email me. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. And again, this is where it's good to have that, you know, introduction phone call to all the parents within your unit to introduce yourself, get to know the family a little bit, and find out whether or not there's potentially any issues. So if the child has ADHD, you know, and maybe they're on medications, this is a good time for the parent to share that information with you, just so, and find out what are the strategies that you use as a parent when a child starts to misbehave and so on, so that you're better prepared, as well as you can also share that information with us as well. Also, this, you know, if they're on medication, this is not the time during day camp for the parent to say, I'm going to give my kid a vacation from medication and I'm going to send them to day camp only to find out that they don't do well when they're off their medication. So again, have that conversation with your unit scout parents.
I have a question. I just wanted to know, like, in the past, what kind of issues you have faced, if any? Like, not with the kids, not with the parents also, because I'm sure that, you know, majority of the parents are very sensitive, getting complaints about their kids and all that. Mm-hmm. You know, they may react differently when you go to them. So I'm just curious, if we have those kind of problems in the past, you know, so.
Well, we do sometimes, not always, but we do sometimes. Again, I would say, you know, I'm here to work with your child and all the kids in our unit to have the best possible experience. So how can we work with you and your child to have the best possible experience? If you find that you get a little bit of pushback from the parent, feel free to reach out to myself, Cassie, and Ashley, and let us take on that responsibility. We'll be the ones working with that parent, and we can take that on from you.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, everybody. I know we ran over really late. Do we have any last questions?
Yeah, I think I missed this one. So adult volunteers also bring their own lunch, is that right?
Yep. Everybody brings their own lunches, water bottles, and snacks.
Yeah, and it's not a bad idea, too, if you want to bring some extra snacks, just in case you have a scout that, you know, seems to be getting kind of hangry, you know, combination of hungry and angry. You can say, hey, you know, Johnny, do you have a snack that you can have right now or eat? Or how about, you know, I share something that, I have. I have an extra snack for you if you want that. So that's good. If you're a unit leader, the ideal is to bring a cooler, ideally on wheels, bring, you know, ice block or one of those, cold blocks, put it in there to help keep the unit lunches cool. If you have a little cart or wagon, that sometimes can be helpful. If you're going to take that around camp to haul the, you know, and that way that, campers can just put their packs in that or they can just carry them. Let's see what else. I think those are at least some of them.
Yep. So as our volunteers and some of my unit leaders are on the call, we are going to have backup water and a limited supply of snacks or even backup lunches at headquarters. Mm-hmm. But we don't necessarily want to, like, advertise that out in case kids are like, I don't like what my mom brought me or gave me for lunch, so I want their lunch. Like, this is really in case of emergency where a kiddo forgot it. Forgot their water bottle, forgot their lunch. We don't want them to go hungry. We don't want them to dehydrate. So we will have a limited supply at headquarters. So if you have, like, you don't bring, you don't have extras, that's totally fine. But you find that one of your scouts doesn't have a lunch or a water, please let us know at headquarters. We're going to make sure those kids are hydrated and we're going to make sure they're fed. Okay.
And you know, in my unit last year, you know, some parents, they decide to bring snacks for all the kids in the unit for the week. So that's more than, that's open as well. So.
But please know that's not an expectation. We are just grateful. Yeah, we are just super grateful that you guys are, like, volunteering and committing your time. That means the world to your kids. And it really means the world to making day camp happen. It's going to be a stellar experience. I had to throw a pun in.
It'll be out of this world for sure. Yeah. So, any other questions or comments? Or if you have any questions that come up after this session, you're more than welcome to email. I know Rand put his contact info out there. Ashley has her contact info. You know, I'm looking at the day camp. There's the day camp email. So reach out to us. You know, we'll...
Yep. And I just put another reminder about the AB506 live scan Tuesday evening in San Ramon at the Brave Church. You can click on that link that I put in the chat again. Sign up. It's about a 15-minute time to just drop by during that time and do it. There is a form that you need to go onto the website, the Scouting, CaliforniaScouting.org/GGAC. That's in the adult registration packet. Make certain that you have that live scan form with you and bring your driver's license or some form of ID and credit card for $37 charge. But that'll get this taken care of rather quickly and hopefully relatively painlessly for you as well.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everyone. Thanks, Ashley, Cassie, and Rand.
Have a good night.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.